Oh my goodness.
Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yes, sir.
Merry New Year.
Oh, a bit of nostalgia.
How many drinks you had Friday night?
Lost count?
Didn't start the count.
Let the man celebrate, Rob. Let him get some shots in, man. His Bengals are playing well. You know, Ohio State had a crazy comeback. Yo, let the guy have some fun with it too, man. So again,
absolutely.
Have some fun with that.
Hey, we gotta have fun on the show, man.
I didn't even start a count. I just went at it.
You just go for it.
I'm having some.
Just go for it.
Again, we want to welcome everyone to another edition of Talk Sports 12 Minute. It is a brand
probably
new year.
One for every Ohio State point.
Oh no! Hell no!
Oh man, he had been packed out.
Shit, no.
Then whenever they push up. Remember they were doing push-ups back in the day? Like, you
yeah, that man.
That guy be jacked, like walking around to, the mascot. Because
I had to work anyway, so I had to work. Somebody decided it was great. It was a good idea to have the Gladiators play New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, and the 2nd. So that kept me somewhat in check, so I had to go to work.
Oh, man. like you said, I guess that kind of kept you out of trouble, but it's all good. Hey, officially, welcome to another Dish Talks with the 12th Man. Like I said, our West Coast counterparts aren't here to celebrate with us. But again, like I said, got a little nostalgia, brings back the old crew. And it's good, man. You know, hopefully we get some time to kind of share your thoughts. I know how we love to dive into some things. And hopefully we'll get a chance to really talk through some things. So, you know, as always, we talk about brand new show for the year. The number to call the show, it's always the same. The 424-243-9519 is the number. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, we're on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/talkingsportsthe12thman, or if you type in 12th Man Sports, you will find us in that arena as well. Something's wrong with his dashboard, so I guess if Lou's trying to get on, I can't get him in, so I'll get that later. So just a little FYI, too. But it's all good. We got some topics to get into, and like I said, I know we want to definitely talk about some make or breaks, if you will, too. And you know, I had to jump on the show no matter how I wasn't feeling or how I'm feeling because I had to gloat upon my two picks. But then also I wanted to show some love to JQ and the Bengals, man, because, you know, again, it's kind of interesting because, you know, you were talking, you know, obviously we weren't sure what, you know, they've been playing well. And then no matter what you say about, you know, you were talking about, you know, the Ravens, that was a broken secondary, right? We don't count that. But this was actually a statement win versus the Chiefs. So, you know, again, they're playing well. I know Rob loves, you know, talking about LSU part two, you know, so he's all in that too. So, you know, he's all celebrating that too. But
yeah,
we can talk about that.
I'm not going to lie. It's become my second favorite team.
Yeah, there it is. I wonder why that is, Rob.
You'd be amazed now with Burrow and Chase, how many people to see me with this on are like, man, I love Jamar Chase. I'm an LSU fan. Yeah, boys gonna do that. So definitely the love has definitely spread down here in Atlanta because a lot more people stopped me. And the first thing I said, "Not the smart chase the beach."
Oh no, I see it a lot with the LSU fans all over the internet. I mean, it's like the Bengals have become like either their favorite or the second favorite team, obviously after the Saints. I mean, I see it all over the internet.
It's wild how that works.
Yeah, that connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good stuff, good stuff.
Jamar
so
said epic.
That,
Jamar's out there somewhere.
Out there somewhere.
He's throwing it, too. I mean, just the dynamic that they have just so quickly, that it's just – it's been, you know, definitely amazing. And then, you know, obviously – I know JQ, I knew you're probably screaming at first. I know you're like, well, we need some protection, but then like, well, you know, Jamal, so they shored up some stuff, you know? So again, it's looking like, you know, Zach Taylor's pulling, you know, definitely
yeah,
rabbit out of his
Jamar
back,
was the
and,
right
you know,
pick all along.
Definitely.
Yeah,
he was.
Was
the right pick, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, again, you know, kind of makes me hurt. Cause I'm still like, damn, he was right there, you know, but it's all good. I mean, you know, you knew that was going to happen, you know? So just, I'm hoping that it comes like, I know we hate talking about Trey and Luka. I hope it becomes like a win-win for both teams, right? Because you got pitched and like, damn it, Jamar Chase was awesome.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to be great. I'm still like, you know what I'm saying? But it's just one of the situations,
but
too.
The question,
so the chemistry is already there
yourself,
for you guys.
Do you think Jamar Chase would have this kind of season if it was somebody other than Joe Burrow? See, the chemistry was already
absolutely
there
not
between those two. You know, I'm sure he probably would still had a really good rookie season. But I think,
right,
you know, having that relationship with Joe already and having that chemistry with him,
right,
already, I think makes it him having a great rookie season. You know, they trust each other.
Right.
They know each other. They already had a rapport. They already had a rhythm. And I think that's, you know, that's really helped catapult him in his rookie season. I mean, he just broke Justin Jefferson's record from a year ago.
Yeah.
I mean, Jefferson only had it for 1 year.
1 year. Yeah, and I think also I don't want to be that. I don't even move to other things. I think also the fact that they got young guys in that locker room, they're around the same age and the same culture, you know, with Joe Mixon and T. Higgins, you can see that. And, you know, chemistry, you can't fake it, right? And when it upscores, they get out there, they dance together, you know, they hang out. You can tell they are got to be a really tight-knit bunch of it. And it shows on the field. And you haven't heard of this Tyler Boyd having to take a step back, and he almost became a 1,000-yard receiver. But he, you know, he's about winning and doing whatever it takes for the team. So, you know, hopefully, knock on wood, those guys stay healthy and they find a way to spend the money to keep them together. But, you know, I'm enjoying this ride, at least for right now.
There it is. Have some fun with that.
Yep.
You know, it's crazy because,
you know, Joe Burrow
back
was completing 70% of his passes. I mean,
yeah,
that's Drew Brees-like. Like, you know, unbelievable.
Yeah.
70% of his passes, completion percentage.
They're talking about the Bengals quarterback history because they've had a couple of, you know, duds in there, but you've gone from, like, you know, essentially, you know, you went from somebody was categorizing it. I remember I was watching something they were categorizing. You know, they went back to, you know, obviously Boomer, and then they went back. We got Carson. You know, they were doing the whole thing. Like, you had Carson in there, and then you kind of had Akili, then you had Jeff Lincoln, but then you had some down with Andy Dalton, but then you got back, you know, the ride of the ship and stuff like that too, which is kind of crazy how they've kind of got it right. They've had a couple in there, but it seems like consistently they've had some good quarterbacks, if you will. Nothing like, you know, the Browns, and, you know, we'll still talk about that too as far as Baker, if you will. But it just seems like more consistency as far as that, which is nuts, you know. So, you know, this was the year to kind of go all in, and then, you know, just perfect storm as far as with the Bengals, you know. So,
good stuff. I put my aside someone on for y'all today. That you brought him up. I said I put my aside someone on for you today, so you just brought him up.
That's what's up. I figured, you know what?
Boom in your side. Wow.
Norman, right? And his son was Gunner, right?
Yeah.
Crazy, right? So, you know, hopefully. Hey, Rob, I guess let's talk about this year. We got to jump in. And is this kind of was that a make or break, I guess, you know, game for Derek Carr, if you will? Or let's talk about that here, the Raiders. I'm going to be proud of my pick because, I don't know, they had a little John Madden magic, if you will, excuse me. So they pulled off the upset. JQ will never pick the Colts again, apparently. And we'll talk about that, too, because Carson Wentz looks terrible, you know, but we'll talk about Derek Carr and like that too. So go ahead, Rob, with that.
Well, you know, I was saying make or break this coming week against the Chargers, right? It's win or go home for the Raiders or the Chargers in that matchup on Sunday night here this weekend. And you look at Derek Carr's season, he's thrown for like 4,600 yards so far this year. When you look at that, it looked like, wow, he really had a pretty good season. 21 touchdowns, you like that number to be higher. 14 INTs, you like that number to be lower, right? So overall, I think he's had a middle-of-the-road kind of year. But to me, this is a make-or-break game for him in his career. I mean, he needs this kind of win to get to the playoffs, especially in a year when they've mostly not had a head coach all year. Green got fired pretty early in the season, too. So to me, this is a big game for Derek Carr to really prove where he stands as an NFL quarterback. Like I said, he's got over 4,600 yards, 21 touchdowns, 14 INTs. Not a horrible year, right, but it's still not a great year. So it's still middle of the road, but I think if he can get a statement win and lead his team to the playoffs, you know, have back-to-back wins against pretty good teams and the Colts and the Chargers, I think he could solidify himself maybe as a Raider starter for another year or two. I think they're going to lose the game, though. I think the Chargers are going to go on the road and beat them. And the Chargers, the Chargers are a team that's got a lot of talent. They've had an up-and-down season. But, you know, when they come to play, Justin Herbert and that team, that group of wide receivers that he has, Austin Ekeler, Rashawn Slater has been one of the better rookies in the league this year. Defensively, the Chargers have underachieved a little bit, in my opinion. To me, they could be a better defensive team. But I like the Chargers going to roll to win this game. But I do think this is a make-or-break game for Derek Carr and the Raiders. I think he'll still be the Raiders next year, but I think he needs something. He needs a statement win still for his career.
Well, I think the Chargers win, but I'm going to take the other side of that, and you alluded to it, and with the fact of what they had to go through with John Gruden. If they had John Gruden there and they both had been up and down this year, I would say this is a statement game. But you look at what happened to them, and that's when they really hit that rocky patch, right, when they had the whole problem with John Gruden. But the one guy that always stood up and tried to take responsibility for what was going on in the locker room and be the voice of the locker room was Carr. So I'll give him a ton of credit for that. So I think he bought himself another year outside of this game just because of that, because he helped, you know, right that ship with his leadership. And you're right, his numbers don't jump out outside the yards, but this is a passing league. So for a quarterback somewhat worth his salt, you expect them to throw somewhere in there unless, you know, you got Bill Belichick telling you only throw the ball three times in the game. But that's not happening out there in Vegas. So I just feel like, you know, for him, the way that he's actually had them, because we had them dead, dirt buried in the ground, you know, middle of the season. And for them to bounce back like that is a kudos to his leadership on that team. He's been a constant voice. Like, how often do you really even hear from the head coach? Well, often now when you hear about the Raiders, you hear from Carr. So I'm going to give you somewhat of a pass. I still think you're right in the fact that this would be a really big statement to go and beat the Colts in the Chargers in back-to-back games and put a cherry on top of the comeback of the season. But I think when people step back and look at this season, they're going to say, well, damn, you know, they were flying high, hit the fan with Gruden. They take a dip with most teams to take a dip with him with Gruden, but his ability to lead them back, I think he's probably gained a lot more followers and people that like him, they probably previously going into this year. So I don't know if he has to have it. It'd be good for him, but I think he bought himself another year with just even having them in his position dealing with Gruden. You got to think about it. When your head coach calls the commissioner, you know, when you call him, I'm not going to say it on the podcast, you go read the email. But when your head coach says something like that about the commissioner, that's a big deal. And he gets fired in the middle of the year, and they hired a special team coach, took over as the head coach. That's tough for a lot of teams wouldn't have rebounded for that. So I'm going to give Carr a pass for this year, based on his ability to lead it back in his leadership.
They won a lot of last-minute games this year, too. I want to say like five of them. I mean, they've either won overtime or a last-minute drive to win. So, I mean, he's come through in the clutch a lot this year. I mean, he really has for that team. I mean, they've won a lot of games by field goal and touchdown here in the last minute.
But you know, I agree with you, Jakey, too, because you got to think about a lot of the circumstances that happened to the Raiders. You know, Henry Ruggs, the challenges he had, you know, obviously, you get rid of their first-round draft pick here, you know, and then
Damon Arnett.
You know, you got to look – Damon Arnett. You got to look at what's happening with Mike Mayock. I mean, what's going on, you know, what's going on? Because this was your construction for your team, you know. So, I mean, all that is definitely, like I said, you kind of throw all that stuff together. And then, you know, Carr's been kind of standing up and say, hey, you know, this is the main thing. So, you know, like we're not giving them like a total pass for everything, like you said, JQ, but at least you got to understand what's happening with – it's been a weird year for the Raiders too, you know. And then, like we talked about, losing the legend, you know, John Madden. So it's just a weird, you know, kind of year from that too. But, you know, definitely – they got to right the ship for sure, right?
Yeah. If they make the playoffs, you got to give that special teams coach a lot of credit for keeping that team together, too. And,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
That's pretty impressive because, as JQ just mentioned, I mean, we wrote the Raiders off this year.
Yeah,
I mean, absolutely. And if they find a way to still make the playoffs, and shucks, they at home in this game against the Chargers. Yep. So, I mean, yep. It's not like they have a chance to win this game and make the playoffs. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I'm picking the Chargers, but the Raiders definitely got a chance to win this game. So it's a phenomenal job by the special teams coach keeping that team together.
Agreed.
Good stuff. All right, we got a big game. Let's get these predictions. We already got one of them out the way. Let's talk about the Cowboys and the Eagles. Go ahead, Rob. What's your thoughts on this one? Woo! Right out the gate. So sorry that
this is a tough one. I tell you, the Eagles' offensive line is playing as good as anybody in the league. Their running game is one of the toughest in the league. Jalen Hurts still doesn't have a great completion percentage over 30 yards, but man, he's got the short game down and he's got the run game down. I'm going to pick the Eagles in a mild upset in this game at home. I want to say they win. I want to go 24-20. Eagles, the defense is playing great. They're a team
no,
over the last 6-7 weeks. Yeah, they're a team over the last 6-7 weeks has been playing great. Dallas has been up and down. They looked phenomenal against Washington 2 weeks ago. And then they came back and laid the egg against Arizona. You know, I think they're going to be motivated to play this game, but I think so will Philadelphia. And, you know, like I said, with that running game, Miles Sanders, that offensive line, the Eagles' defensive line has been playing outstanding too. They can be a dangerous team in the playoffs too. It really can be. But I'm going to pick the Eagles in a mild upset, 24-20.
That's scary. Now I mean the Cowboys are going to win because I feel the same way. And the other two reasons I will put behind that, one, if we're being honest, I think that, you know, that Gallup injury shifts some things around for that wide receiver core. And if you look at that offense, it just hasn't been in sync. I think that foot injury catches up with Pollard. You know, he had some bursts here and there, and then Zeke, you know, just doesn't have the burst he had a couple of years ago either. And the biggest thing is Michael Parsons going on the COVID list. If he's unable to play in that game, you're talking about, you know, like, I know Gregory and Lawrence, you know, are having good years as defensive end as well, but he's that X factor. He can drop back in coverage. He can absolutely flat out get after the passer. And he's one of those guys that if you wanted to say, hey, who would be our shadow on Jalen Hurts, it would probably be Micah Parsons, right? So not having him in that game is a big blow to that Dallas defense. And, you know, they both are in the playoffs. So, I mean, nobody is necessarily fighting for their lives at this point. And the Dallas teams, when they don't have much to play for, they fall into a level of complacency. But to me, it's really not having Micah Parsons on defense. That would concern me as a Dallas fan. Against the mobile quarterback in Jalen Hurts. So I'm with Rob. They've been playing well defensively, the Eagles, that is. They've been finding ways to win. You know, he's hitting Dodd as a tight end. You know, he's hitting wide receiver Devontae. So, like, he's got some weapons. Jordan Howard has been resurrected. Well, Miles Sanders has been hurt. Boston Scott filled in pretty well for them last week as well. So I'm going to go with the Eagles. And, you know, at home against the division rival, they hate the Dallas Cowboys. They don't want to hear about those rings and all that foolishness the boys come here and talking about. They're going to be highly motivated to see the Cowboys into the postseason with a loss. So I'm with Rob. I think the Eagles win this game.
Yeah. I concur. It's kind of weird because, you know, again, you worry about what's happening with Dallas because, you know, just you want to finish kind of strong, as they say, too, and they haven't been finishing strong. So, but it was interesting that one fact about Kyler Murray. I think he was like 7-0 in that stadium, which was crazy. That was just a crazy stat that he was undefeated.
High school,
like, oh,
college, and pro.
Yeah.
I was like, man. So, and then he just put on another show too. So go show that. I love to hear Curtis talk about the Eagles having 43 walk-on players, you know, all the time too. So shout out to him as far as getting some walk-on players to play versus Dallas, but. Oh,
off
man, we're not hurting their hearts, dude. That was nuts. Another big game, if you will, the 49ers at the Rams. And we talked about this. It's interesting because Trey Lance came in there, played very well, and then you hear some crap that the 49ers are going back to Jimmy Garoppolo. So I don't know if Jimmy has pitchers or something like that. I don't know. And the Rams, you know, same thing with the Rams. I mean, we talked about it. This is a situation where if you're Matthew Stafford, you got to get that monkey off your back because, you're going to – always keep thinking that you're not a big game quarterback if you're right. So this is an interesting situation as well, too. So I'll start with you, Rob. Thoughts about this one as well?
Yeah, another very intriguing matchup. First time they played the 49 that took them to the woodshed earlier this year. Man, they kicked their ass, right? They ran the ball yeah. down his throat, and you know. But I think it's
neutralized.
I think
it's going to
be close,
right?
Rush, because both of the teams have something to gain in this game, right? The Rams want to, if Rams win, they hold down a number two seed, so they want to win this game, right? They want that number two spot. The 49ers need to win to get in the playoffs. So both of these teams, you know, need to win this football game. So I think it's going to be a very competitive game. I think it's going to be a really good game, one of the better games of this weekend. Stafford hasn't been playing that great, even though Cooper Kupp has been phenomenal. And the Rams got a chance to have a really potent running game here. They're getting Cam Akers back here possibly for the playoffs. Sony Michel has been good here of late. The defense has been good. The offensive line is still middle of the road. But I think they're going to beat the 49ers in this game. They're at home. I think everybody outside of Stafford is really playing well for the Rams right now. They got to get Stafford to get his game back up to where it was here early in the year. You know, as Andre just mentioned, it's big game time, right? They got to get Stafford to start rising up in these big games. So I'm going to pick the Rams at home. A real nail biter. I'm going to go 27-23. The Rams find a way to pull it out on their home turf.
Man, I've been struggling with this one because I'm in the confidence pool. It's the last week. Like, I'm in third place, and I need to pick this one. I need to get just best all of them right to have a chance to win it. But I just don't know what to make of this Rams team. Like, you watch the Bengals just totally obliterate the same secondary in Baltimore. And put 41 points on them, and it takes the Rams the last second. First of all, OBJ had to catch a fourth down pass to keep that drive alive, and then he caught the touchdown pass. Like, they were down to their last play, potentially to lose to the Ravens with, you know, Huntley at quarterback. And it's like, if Huntley can do that to that bottom defense we talked about with a banged up secondary in Baltimore, you know, if Trey Lance with those young legs and Debo you know, in that run game. You know, can they stop that? And like you said, the last time they took them to the woodshed, another piece about it, you're right about the Rams trying to get the two seed, but win or lose, the Rams are in. 49ers have to have this game to get in the playoffs. So a piece of you still knows, and they probably won't admit to it, but a piece of you knows in the back of your head that win or lose, we still make the playoffs if you're the Rams, but the 49ers are going to be so much more hungrier because they're going home more than likely if they, you know, depending on what the Saints do right with the Falcons. So, I'm going to go with the 49ers because I just don't – it's one of those things almost with me right now with Matthew Stafford, and we talked about it, him having to prove that he's got the one with all the pressure on his back. It's almost like Georgia-Alabama. Like, you feel like Georgia can win that game. They've got the talent to win that game. But until you see them actually beat Alabama and do it, it's hard to pick them. Until I see them take San Francisco, until I see Matthew Stafford go and get this, like you said, a statement kind of win that we talked about for Carr. I'm going to go with the hungrier team in San Francisco. And they seem to kind of have their number, ball control, and you add another component.
Yeah.
Now, if they put Garoppolo back in there, then the Rams are going to win. That would just be it. I think you have
to have a
healthy quarterback with ability when you break down the pocket that he can flat out leave you getting outside the pocket. I'm going to go with the 49ers because they got to have it for
him. I agree. I mean, it's tough because your probably best scenario is that you may start with, you know, Garoppolo. You give some packages in there for Trey Lance and kind of let's see how he takes over. But, you know, I think they're going to kind of run the ball all over the Rams again. The Rams can try to stop him, but, you know, just a creative play caller like Kyle Shanahan, he's going to figure out some things too. So, you know, and again, like you said, I don't think the Rams, they're going to probably start out pretty hot. They're probably, all right, you know, we're already in, so we don't really have to worry about that too. So, you know, again, this is kind of like let's get some of our timing down, little things like that. But, you know, I'm with you. I'm thinking that the 49ers are going to kind of run the ball all over the Rams again too. So, you know, I mean, it may be a little closer to talk about, but I think they're definitely going to run the ball. And I think they're hungry too. So, you know, I'm thinking 49ers.
I think it's a close game either way. I think it's a close game either way.
Definitely close.
You can convince me for either one. It's one of those truly 51-49 kind of games for me. I had a hard time figuring out who I would pick in this game for real.
Yeah.
And that's on that Rams team.
That is tough.
You know, another thing I thought about, will Sean McVay even play as starters in this game? But, you know, to me, you know, Sean McVay sits as starters the whole preseason, if you think about it. He does that every year. He doesn't play as starters in the preseason. But to me, he's got to be thinking about, if he's playing the Bucks in round two. You want to play that game in Tampa or you want to play that game in Los Angeles? So I think he goes all out and try to win this football game too. You know, I thought about it too. I'm like, hey, does he rest his players? But, you know, I think in the end, Tampa Bay is playing Carolina. Tampa Bay is going to win that game. So if he wants to have that, if they have to play the Bucks in round two, you know, he's going to want that. They're going to want that game in L.A. where they destroyed Tampa Bay earlier this year.
Agreed.
Carolina taking a dive too. They definitely misfired on Sam Darnold, right? It's just, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about it later.
Well, he was playing pretty decent early in the year when McCaffrey was hurt. As soon as McCaffrey got hurt, he was, you know, same thing with Ryan Tannehill.
And then they fired
Joe
Brady. Yeah, they need to scapegoat somehow. It's just not looking good up there. This is
agreed.
A really great question. This is a really great topic to talk about. Would Jim Harbaugh be a good candidate or good fit for the Jaguars or the Raiders? This is actually pretty good. So, Rob, man, start off, man. What do you think about this? Good stuff.
I'm going to say yes. You know, he was proven to be a successful head coach on the NFL level with the 49ers. I know he didn't win the Super Bowl, but he took the team to the Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick. I think he would be a really good mentor for Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. You know, I really do. Jacksonville has to hire an offensive-minded head coach, right? They gotta hire somebody who's a quarterback guru to go to franchise quarterback, whether that's Doug Peterson, whether that's Jim Harbaugh or somebody like that. They need an offensive-minded head coach. But I think Harbaugh will be a good fit with either one of those teams. I really do. I mean, they're going to beat Ohio State 1 out of 5 years, right? I mean, they're not going to get the recruits. You know, now this, you know, I heard something really interesting in that Georgia-Michigan game the other night. You know, they said Georgia had 25-star recruits on their team and Michigan only had 3. I was like, wow. You know,
yeah.
And it showed on the field, right? And a huge talent disparity, right? They may get lucky and beat Ohio State 1 out of 5 years, right? He would have better success as an NFL head coach. So I think he would be a good fit. I mean, he proved what he was able to do with the 49ers. You know, he had some success as an assistant coach in the NFL as well back in the day. So, no, I think either one of those teams, he will be a good fit. I know Jacksonville is also talking to Doug Peterson, which I think will also be a good fit. They need an offensive-minded coach to go with their franchise quarterback in Trevor Lawrence.
Well, I read also a story today that there's seemingly some mutual interest between him and the Bears. And, you know, he was the Bears quarterback when he was in playing day. So, let's not do that one. He gets a young quarterback in Justin Fields. So, that may end up being the best one, too.
Yeah.
Also, depending on if he can get that offense, but the defense isn't bad. It's just the offense is so bad, it puts the defense in bad situations. So you give him a young quarterback with a good defense, somewhere where he's a known quantity as a quarterback from Chicago. I see that working. I would take a slightly different approach. I think, for me, I think he's a better fit if we're just talking about these two teams, maybe more for the Raiders because he has an established quarterback. He has a decent defense, but he has a veteran group, I think, that he may gel better with. For me, if I'm Jacksonville, I just don't know why we're talking about it. To me personally, unless Byron Leftwich has just kicked over some tables and, you know, pissed in some coffee cups, like, if I'm Jacksonville, he was my quarterback. He's doing this with Tampa. He's got all that information from Tom Brady that he can bring to a Trevor Lawrence. The community is going to rally around him. To me, that just seems like a match made in heaven. If you want to go out on a limb and get somebody and not be a retread, I would love to see Byron Leftwich take that job in Jacksonville if he wanted it and let Trevor Lawrence grow with him as they grow together as a young OC / somebody who knows the area, knows the fan base, and that they would get excited about that, given with his track record. And like I said, he's bringing all these nuances that he just got from Tom Brady these last 2 years about how to listen to a veteran quarterback and relate some of that, like, hey, we're in situations. Tom did this. I'm not asking you to be Tom, but if you want to be somewhere, you want to be like Tom, I would think, you know, with the rings and whatnot.
There it is.
This is how we kind of tackle this, and that has so much more weight, I think, with a young quarterback like Trevor Lawrence who's watched it. So, for me, I would love to see Byron get that job. But if the Bears come calling, I think he goes to Chicago. It's just too much familiarity. He gets a stout defense in Chicago, and he also gets a chance to help mold a young quarterback. To me, if I'm him, I'm like, you know, the way the world – and then you look at the division, Minnesota, they're getting ready to fire their head coach. Nobody believes in Kirk Cousins. Green Bay is Green Bay, but do they resolve their issues with Aaron Rodgers? Detroit is always going to be Detroit, right? So if you look at somewhere to land as a head coach, right, you mean like the NFC North is not necessarily a bad place to go to. You go to Jacksonville, you know, and he can't come and stumble out the gate because he's a known quantity, right? You got Tennessee, who was good. You got Indianapolis, who was good. So now you got to fight through that barrier. You go to the AFC West. You got the Chargers, who we think are making the ascension, and we think are going to make the playoffs. And you got your staff, Kansas City Chiefs. So you got two really good teams already in those divisions where you really only got one in the NFC North, and it's predicated on a 38-year quarterback who doesn't like the front office.
Yeah. So I like to fit with Byron Leftwich, too, in Jacksonville. I think that would be amazing. And as you just mentioned, they definitely need an offensive-minded head coach. That's what Jacksonville needs. They need to get an offensive-minded head coach, someone who's a quarterback guru, to come in and coach their franchise quarterback. They definitely need that in Jacksonville.
And that's tough, too, because, right, you know, you're hoping that, you know, again, he's a first-year guy, too. So you're like, can we just have this with Urban? You know, you're kind of like the same thing, you know, but at least he's been in the NFL long enough, like you said. You know, to make our life happy, bring your boy Todd Bowles, have the brothers, man, coaching offense and defense. That would be like a perfect scenario for me, man. I'm getting like a Jacksonville jersey. But I'm kind of joking. But, you know, again.
I ain't going to take it that far.
Brother Bowles. Nah. But I'm joking. But it's crazy. We're talking about Jimmy Smith, too, is one of the, you know, Jimmy Smith maybe was talking about coming back into some coaching, too. You know, the great wide receiver. Like, what? You know, so again. You know, bringing back that.
They bring
type
Jimmy
of
Smith back. They should bring
like,
Fred Taylor back too.
Man, Fred Taylor, Keenan McCardell.
Well,
you
get
wrong
that coach. Why not? Let's not take it that far.
But nah, it's just good to like you know this you know the kind of the, you know I know our minds are kind of taking us down that route too. But that's a really good call too. But like I said, just kind of like piggyback on everything too. You know, if Harbaugh kind of gets the call from Chicago, that may kind of tug at his heartstrings, if you will, too, because, you know, like you said, Rob, Michigan, yeah, this is kind of a fun ride, but yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like right
out. Might
have popped out. You know, it's kind of right out of the sunset, too, you know, because even though you keep, you know, Mike Ditka, it's not going to be calling anything like that, too. That's the next greatest one out there, too, you know, so, but that's a good fit, too, if you will, too. And like you said, you know, the defense solidify that. You got a guru calling from there. Good stuff. I do want to talk about we're making some good progress here, and it's good that we have time to chat through this too. So I do want to talk about the possibility of Derrick Henry. I know we mentioned a couple of things about that returning, which is if you're the type, it's going to be a huge boost. So what do you think about that? Is that kind of a serious situation, you think, or what? Go ahead, JQ.
Well, I think that was always the plan, right? They talked about it, but, you know, when you hear that in week 5 or 6, you're like, them boys just talking. Like, if he had the surgery, they are wishing upon a star that they can write, keep this shit righted and bring him back for the playoffs. But lo and freaking behold, this is exactly what has happened for Tennessee. And Rob alluded to it. You got to see the real Ryan Tannehill without Derrick Henry. And it's like, you really need Derrick Henry. You talk about somebody that's going to end up being fresh because he's somebody that takes his rehab, his training, super serious. You see him, you know, training the offseason and stuff that he
does.
He's somebody that doesn't put his foot around. So you're giving them now everything that everybody was scared about initially, right? Like, man, Tennessee should be playing like this the way Derrick Henry is running. They're going to be a hard out. Well, now you have to revisit that equation, right? Because they win this week. They play the Titans. I mean, they play the Texans. They win. So go ahead and give them that one. They get a first-round bye, so that's an additional week for him not only to get back, but also to get reacclimated. And, you know, maybe you hit him a little bit in practice because running on the treadmill, getting your strength and all your speed back is great. But sometimes you got to get hit to remember what that feels like, right? So you might do some light practice, let him get a couple little taps, you know, get a little acclimated to it. But, man, if A.J. Brown is healthy and you get Derrick Henry back and that Tennessee defense is playing much better, they grounded Miami, who had won 7-8 games in a row. They just made them look awful this past week.
Yeah.
Without Derrick
Henry. Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole problem. The AFC didn't think they were going to have to worry about this year. Maybe next year when he came back. But having to deal with it now in the playoffs, and if you see how cold it's freaking getting down here in the South, you want to go play outside in Nashville against Derrick Henry, good luck. That's not what the rest of the AFC wanted to see.
Yep. Hey, you touched on a real key point there, and I was going to bring up the same thing. If they get this bye week, an additional week of healing, he's not going to play this week, and they get an additional week to get him ready. To me, that's a very huge point for the Titans that could really set them up for success, and they only have to win two games to get to the bowl. And it's not going to be easy, though, especially if they got to play the Chiefs or somebody like that. You know, I would still probably give the Chiefs the favorites, but, you know, if they can get Derrick Henry going and grinding that out, you know, they can give the Chiefs a, you know, run for their money, too. But to me, that's a very key point, getting that extra week. If they beat the Texans, that's going to be huge as from the recovery standpoint. And it really, like I said, if they get that bye, only two games they need to win, that's going to be huge. And the AFC is not that strong. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, if the Titans get there, to me, you know, you're looking at the Titans, you're looking at the Chiefs, maybe Buffalo might be able to make a run. And that might be it. Well, the Bengals. You can't rule out the Bengals in that offense, too. They can put up points, so you can't rule out the Bengals, too.
But that defense can't stop a nosebleed, so I'm being realistic.
You can win games by scoring people. They did against the Chiefs.
But the thing about it is the Chiefs want it quick, hit you quick, and then you get back on the field. The Titans don't want to go on an 8-9-10-minute drive, play drive, every drive, pushing Derrick Henry down your throat and limit the amount of touches your offense is going to get. That's what makes them so dangerous, that you know they're going to give him the ball, and they're still going to go on these 10-play, 8-minute drives and pay it off with a touchdown. And you're like, damn, we knew exactly what this drive was going to look like, and we couldn't stop it.
We still can't stop it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say this really quickly about Derrick Henry. There is a movie called Predator 2 starring Danny Glover. At the end of the movie, whenever he realized that there was more predators, that's what it's like for everyone else. Like, damn, he's coming back. That's what the whole NFL, we thought we got rid of him, and then you realize that they've been coming for years. That's exactly what's happening. You're like, ha, ha, I thought I got rid of this dude. Now I'm scared shitless. That's exactly what it is right there.
Yeah. That's tough for us, AFC.
Yeah. They're like,
and they hung around, you know. Their schedule wasn't that strong, so they hung around near the top of the conference. And, they beat a few good teams in there, but they mainly had a very weak schedule, so they were able to hang around near the top of the conference. And they hung around just enough to still possibly be secure the number one seed, which they will, you know, like I said, playing against Houston this weekend, too. So that's going to be huge for them.
I got 22 minutes here. I want to talk about, if you want to do quickly, the top five teams. And then I know Antonio Brown, that was an interesting situation. But I do want to get to the top prospects too, Rob, too. So there's a way to kind of fit all those in there and kind of pick a topic as we kind of get in this too, because I know we want to wrap up, if we can, like right at the top of the hour, if you will, too. But, you know, we can do the top five. And then, you know, again, there's some interesting stuff about Antonio Brown, what happened with him. And then, I know. He still needs help. You know, I know we still – it's easy to pick on him, but, yeah, I don't know. And then Rob is talking about prospects, if you will, too. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
The funny thing is they still got people out there buying his story.
Right. Right. I don't understand that. Go ahead, man. Dude, I'll follow around after that.
But I got the Packers number one. But one thing that worries me about the Packers, though, when you look at their schedule – they've only beaten one elite team this year. And, you know, that's got to worry you. I mean, they've had a lot of real close wins, like they beat the Ravens by 1 point. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is having a phenomenal year. I'm not going to take that away from them. But they've only really had, like, one – when you look at their schedule this year, and that concerns me. And, you know, they've lost 2 years in a row in the NFC Championship game. But that element is the one thing that concerns me about the Packers this year. Is that, like I said, they really only have one elite win all season this year. So, you know, how does that translate into the playoffs? I know they're going to have home field advantage. It's going to be tough to go into Lambeau Field and win. But you saw Tampa win and did it last year, right? But I'm going to leave them in the number one spot, but that is concerning to me that, like I said, they have not had they've only had one elite victory this entire football season. So we'll see how they translate in the playoffs. Number two, Tampa still got Tom Brady. I know they don't have Antonio Brown anymore. I know they don't have Chris Godwin anymore. But they still got Mike Evans. They still got Gronkowski. They still got Cameron Brate. They're getting Leonard Fournette back. They still have if not the best offensive line, one of the top offensive lines in the league. They got some injuries on defense that can be really concerning, too, for them, you know, which could really hurt them. You know, Pierre Paul is out. Shaq Barrett is out. So that could really hurt them, too, if those guys don't come back for the playoffs. But I'm going to put them in the spot for now. Yeah.
You still did you send the picture of Terrell Owens coming? Was that you?
Yeah,
he was doing
it. The butt. Was that you? I'm like, so I'm coming back. I just had to
that picture
was like
a cross between Terrell Owens and Morgan Freeman.
That was like hilarious.
Yeah, that's
coming
so,
back. I saw that. I was like,
he's
no.
so ignorant.
Go ahead. My,
he's
I'm
so ignorant.
I was like, I was cracking up when I saw that. Go ahead, man.
Oh man. But so yeah, I got Tampa number two. I got the Rams in the three spots. So if you notice, my top three teams are all in the NFC. And then I got the Chiefs at number four. And then I got a Derrick Henry Titans team at number five.
Ooh, good, interesting. Okay, okay. No left for the Bengals.
I wouldn't
okay.
have
yeah,
Derrick Henry without Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
You know what? Honestly, I can't fault that. The only one it's almost like Green Bay has put themselves in a different tier. And I hear what you're saying, but they also get the center back. They're going to get Bakhtiari back at left tackle. They're talking about getting Jerry Alexander
yeah.
back at cornerback. And also talking about getting Darius Smith back at linebacker. So if you allow them, same thing we talked about with the Titans, with Derrick Henry in that bye week, they've already secured the bye in the NFC, and you get those four pieces back. I mean, given the way that they've already been playing, yeah, they never cover the spread, and I give you that. Those dudes will not win a blowout for the sake of their lives, but a win is a win, and you look back at the end of the year,
yep.
nobody's going to complain about you beating the Ravens in week 13 by 1 point. We should have beaten them by 13, right? So it is what it is, but to me, they just are operating on a different level. A couple of those throws, my God, Aaron Rodgers to Devontae. I mean, it was just so
yeah.
stupid. Like, he's throwing it, he's 5 yards off the line of scrimmage, and he's throwing it to a specific spot, and it's just landing right there, and it's like, seriously?
Yep.
That
yeah, dude. So that chemistry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I have problems with everybody else. The Chiefs defense worries me when they play an
yeah.
elite team. I almost want to put the Titans too, just with the prospect of them getting Derrick Henry back, because when he's there, they're so much more of a complete team. The Cowboys, we talked about them earlier, the struggles on offense. The Rams, Matthew Stafford, can he go give it to you in a big game? The Bucs, I feel like Tom Brady will find a way on offense. They can go back to what New England used to do with those two tight end sets when they had Gronk or Hernandez. You can do some of that
yep.
with Gronk and break and put Mike Williams on the outside and then try to fill in on the second and third receivers. But those injuries on defense, because that defense really is what helped propel them last year in the playoffs in the Super Bowl
yeah.
when they had Mahomes
yep.
running for his life. That defense was playing outstanding football, and it gets overshadowed
right.
with Tom Brady's freaking Tom Brady. We're always going to give him all the love. But that defense
yeah.
concerns me going into the playoffs, right? So that's why I say, like, I've got more confidence as part of the favorite team that lost two last NFC Championship games. But right now, I've got more confidence in Green Bay than I do anybody else. Everybody else, I feel like I just get pick holes in them, right? Like, there's no, like, level of there's a solid 2 or 3, like, they're going to really get them around. Like, I just worry about 2 through 5 on the list. So I won't quibble with what he said, other than maybe I might put Tennessee with a healthy Derrick Henry at the 2 spot, because that makes them a much more complete team than everybody else outside of Green
Bay.
Sure.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, Tennessee's defensive line is playing really good, too.
Yeah,
correct.
Good stuff, too. And just it's crazy because you talk about just how the quarterback play of Aaron Rodgers, and like you said, you're watching this guy's accuracy. It's just it's uncanny, you know. And you know,
mm-hmm.
him and Tom Brady they're up at a different level, because you're just wishing that. Like, man, I wish my quarterback could make passes like that too. So just
think about
insane.
Aaron Rodgers.
Good stuff in that.
He doesn't even have the best mechanics as a quarterback. You know, he throws off his back foot more than any other quarterback, but he still is very accurate with that football.
Yeah.
It's
amazing.
I mean,
I've never seen that. Mm-hmm.
You saw the pregame stuff? How he was doing something pregame? He was throwing those little buckets. He was dropping back on a dime and like those little
40
yards. Little, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Oh,
back in the end
God.
Zone
like,
in a bucket.
Oh,
yeah.
And he turned, he run, and you're like, oh, man. It was impressive, and like you said, that's just – but I was going to say really quickly about Tampa Bay. and what's happening, you know, this is a good game for, you know, Byron Leftwich to kind of prove how he's able to kind of, you know, his creativity with, you know, a lot of those missing pieces too. So he can pull it off and say, hey, I got Brake, I've got Gronkowski, we've got some options with Mike Evans. This is really great for him too as well. We'll see how that plays out. Let's talk about, again, unless y'all really want to talk about Antonio Brown, I don't really want to dive into that. That's just, you know, whatever. I want to hear the top prospects for Rob, for NFL, if you will. And then I know we get his fantasy shout-outs. And I do want to talk about Georgia-Alabama and then Caleb Williams, too. That's some huge information as far as him getting the transfer portal, too. So that's – hopefully we can get all that, too, as well, too. So that's kind of – that's what I'd like. But you guys can do whatever you want, too. But, you know, just –
I'm good with that.
Hit too. So, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rob. Your top prospect.
I'll go try to go through this quickly, but it's posted on our Facebook page.
We got
the updated top 45 for our team, for our listeners. If you want to go ahead and look over here. I got Evan Neal. I moved him up to the number one spot. I mean, he's been outstanding here in this stretch. He was outstanding in the Georgia game, which really caught a lot of NFL scouts' attention. Obviously, he's impressive against Cincinnati as well. He's versatile too. You know, he's probably gonna play tackle in the league, but he can play guard too. So he's the number one spot now. I got Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan up to number two, and I got Thibodeau from Oregon number three. Derek Stingley number four. You know, you're listening to Joe Burrow talk about Derek Stingley. Joe Burrow said he's still the best cornerback I've ever faced, and when I faced him, he was a freshman. So he still haven't played a guy in the NFL as good as Stingley. So even though Stingley kind of sat on LSU the last 2 years waiting to turn pro, but, you know, that could be the Ed Orgeron thing. But yeah, then listen to Joe Burrow talk about Stingley. He says, I haven't faced a better cornerback yet, not even in the NFL. So, I mean, he's got that kind of ability. Yeah. And he had 6-9 seasons as a freshman on a national championship team. At LSU as well. Kenny Pickett, I got him as the number one quarterback right now. I have him at the number seven spot. Kyle Hamilton, safety from Notre Dame, number eight. Max Rowell obviously got hurt. You know, we're still waiting to see how serious that's going to be, but I got him at the number 10
that
spot.
Was so bad.
Obviously, Lane Kiffin did wonders for him, his development. James Williams, the wide receiver from Alabama, 11. David Ojabo, the edge rusher from Michigan, at 12. N'Kobe Dean from Georgia, inside linebacker, number 13. Trevon Walker from Georgia, number 14. Garrett Wilson from Ohio State, wide receiver, number 15. Devin Lloyd, linebacker from Utah, number 16. Sauce Gardner, cornerbacker from Cincinnati. Number 17. Malik Willis, quarterback from Liberty. I got him number 19.
Yep.
You know, looking at him in that bowl game, he's got the arm talent. He's got the athletic ability. You still like to see his accuracy get better, though. I mean, he's got to get, accuracy-wise, even in that bowl game was in the 55% range. He's got to get that up to at least about 65%. That's probably the only thing that's keeping him out of being the top five or top 10 pick. But you might have somebody take a chance on him, just like you did with Trey Lance, right? So, but he's got
Allen.
The ability. Yeah,
that was
knock
on Josh Allen coming out of Wyoming with his accuracy.
Yeah. But athletic ability, he can throw in the tight windows. You saw him in the bowl game. You know, strong arm. And he, like I said, he can make all the throws. You just got to get that accuracy up. Chris Olave, you got him number 20. Roger McCreary, cornerback from Auburn, who was really impressive in the Alabama game. So that really helped him out a lot. Right now, he's at the number 24 spot. Treylon Burks is a wide receiver to watch. He's got really good size and speed. Wide receiver from Arkansas, got him at number 25. Big Jordan Davis, you know, from Georgia. He's down at number 26 right now. You know, some scouts are worried about is he going to be able to play on passing downs. So that's going to be, he's going to be a first, second down guy. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I like him as a player. Drake London, wide receiver from USC. I got him number 27. This guy reminds me of a healthy Michael Thomas a lot. He uses his body extremely well. He's 6'5", about 210, 215 pounds. It's going to be really interesting in how well he runs in his workouts. If he can run at least a 4.5, he's got a chance to move up because he's a very sound technician at the wide receiver position. Like I said, he reminds me of a healthy Drake London, wide receiver from USC. He's got an opportunity to move up. Trevor Penning, offensive tackle from Northern Iowa, tremendous athlete, 6'6", over 310, 315 pounds, the long arms. He's going to be one to watch at the offensive tackle position. Right now I have him at number 29, obviously coming from a small college. Darian Kendrick, cornerback from Georgia, have him at number 34. Johan Dotson from Penn State, and JQ, you've seen a lot of him, have him at the number 35 spot. George Pickens from Georgia is one to watch. Tremendous talent. Obviously, he's had a couple of big injuries. Now he's at number 38. And JQ's favorite quarterback in his draft, Sam Howell from North Carolina.
Oh, my God.
Got him in the second round going to 39. And then there's a Jaquan in his draft. Jaquan Brisker, safety from Penn State, got him going number 42 right now. And Desmond Ridder, quarterback from Cincinnati, got him going 43. Now in there.
Oh, yeah. When the girl, I was watching the game with the girl, they said, did they just say his name was Jaquan? I said, God bless his soul. I understand his struggle. I'm interested in the Jordan Davis piece with it, too, because I think Cincinnati is probably not going to win. We'll be somewhere in there, hopefully. They're probably going to be addressing, you know, the offensive defensive line. If I had my druthers, I don't think there's going to necessarily be a cornerback drop that far to him. Maybe a little bit of secondary help. So I'm interested to see who's in that mid-20 range right now. So I'll take either one of those guys. But
the deep offensive line.
I can't complain with it. Yeah. Antonio Brown. They'll grab one. I think they're happy with all the skill positions. And mostly, you know, in a linebacker. So you talk about in the trenches and on the outside on defense. But that's what Antonio Brown, like you said, why are people still giving this dude credence? Like, there was no problem with that ankle the week against Carolina when Evans and Godwin were both out. He had 15 targets and caught 10 of them for 101 yards and a touchdown. You didn't hear a peep out of him all week long. It wasn't no all-day force to play, yada, yada, yada. It was only when Gronk started catching passes, Evans catches the short touchdown against the Jets, and they rode a defense to him that he got pissed off. And he talked about his ankle. This fool ran off the field doing jumping jacks. You going to tell me your ankle is hurting, you can't play? Come on, Antonio Brown, man.
I thought the same thing, JQ.
Come on, man. He's out there jumping jacks and jogging off the field. You going to tell me you can't play? Somebody is going to convince themselves that they can change him next year, and they're going to bring him aboard. But how many times do you have to see the same movie where somebody blows up the situation where they are and not just say it's that person?
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah. I was watching that game live when it happened, and as soon as I saw it, I was like, he's done. That's it.
Yeah.
he won't be here. Yeah. And the funny thing is, Bruce Arians got to the podium right after the game and said, he's no longer a Buck right away. And I was watching it live, and I was like, wow. I was like, he's done. There's no way they're bringing him back after this. I don't even know what happened on the sidelines, but there's no way they're bringing him back, you know, after that stunt.
Well, B.A. said it today at a conference. He said he's talking about his ankle. We asked him. He got cleared to go. He said what happened was that at halftime he was mad about the targets, and the other wide receivers stopped calming down. And then they rolled back in the third quarter, and he didn't like the way it was going. And they called his personnel group and told him to go back in. He said, no, I'm not going back in. He said, what? Well, he said, get the F out of here. Because that's how Bruce Arians
did. Get the F out of here, yeah.
But, yeah. But I can totally believe that. That's who he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's definitely an unfortunate situation for somebody with that kind of ability. But, you know, and another nugget, too, I don't know if y'all heard this, but the Buccaneers, you know, Antonio Brown is still in the New Jersey, New York area, right? They tried to get him to go see a doctor to get his ankle checked out. And if there was something legitimately wrong with his ankle, they was going to put him on IR, but he wouldn't even go see a doctor.
He went to the Nets game. And was he at the Nets game on crutches or with a boot on?
Yep.
No. Sitting out there chilling, watching the game with sunglasses on, living life. Like, come on, Antonio Brown. I'm through with you. You're an idiot.
The painkillers hadn't really kicked in, so that's what, you know, was going on there.
Stop. It was the next day.
Let me ask you this question really quickly. If you're the Bengals, right, and if Joe Burrow's kind of calling the shots and he says, hey, I want you to trade a lot of draft picks to get Derek Stingley, would you do that if you're the Bengals?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I told Rob that last year. I was like, because I was thinking we weren't going to be this good this year. I was like, hopefully
LSU
we won't fall
North.
Too far out of it. I would love to get Derek Stingley to play cornerback because, you know, we don't really have anybody. Like the kid, Chakobe, that we got from Dallas has been a godsend. I didn't think he was going to be that good. But when you got to rely on Trey Waynes and Eli Apple on the other side, they need another corner. And to me, you can never have enough cornerbacks in this league where people are going 2-3 wide receiver sets all the time. Or you got to have another cornerback. So depending on what the price was, you know, a first this year and a second, or depending on how the draft process plays out, yeah, because I think that's one of their major needs to go do it. And I would fully rest of the – if I do that, now I got it. I try to re-sign Bates to a decent contract of safety, and then I just go offensive defensive line.
That's it. I'm just you know.
Yeah, if you look at the latter part of the first round,
in,
you know. Andrew Booth from Clemson, you know, could be there. Kyrie Lamb from Georgia.
We're not talking about that.
We're
talking about Derek.
Roger McCreary.
Unless you're going for Derek Stingley. That's what you're going there for.
I don't want to draft McCreary based off one game, though, because Armour still has sucked, and he's gotten blown up a little bit. So, yeah, he had one good game. Well, let's not make him overpay him and get him out there and be disappointed when you're like, oh, well, he only had the one game. So,
well, he still got the body of work, but I think that just kind of catapulted me a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Stingley's the one that I like out of all of them. I think there's like everybody else.
You don't do this for anybody but Stingley. That's what I was just curious because the LSU connection is strong.
Yeah.
And then again, you never know. You're like, yo, this is the dude.
Well,
they may be like, all right, you know, Joe's been picking. You have to shut up. And I'm saying, would you like, yo? You're like, yo, I'm giving up this, and that. That because your problem was defense, and that's a huge solve of right there, right? So that could be like, almost like another perfect situation.
Okay,
that
never trades in the draft.
We trade down. We never trade up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
then,
interesting. All right.
You know, if I'm looking at it from the Bengals perspective, like you said, they're going to be drafting in the bottom 20s, right? More than likely. Or the mid-20s, you know, best case scenario, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be too much to move up. You're probably going to give up a future first-round pick. If I'm them, I wouldn't make that move. As good as Stingley is. You only make those kind of moves for quarterbacks, right? If you need a franchise quarterback. To me, you stand pat. You either draft one of those cornerbacks right there. It's a deep offensive line draft. You got, you know, I mentioned you got Trevor Penning from Northern Iowa that's going to be there. You got, you know, Darian Kennard, offensive tackle from Kentucky, that's going to be there too. So, I mean, you're going to have, you're taking some pretty solid offensive linemen. And if you want to go the corner route, you got that. Jordan Davis, Cameron Thomas from San Diego State, you know, will be in play.
Jordan Davis,
tremendous
like
athlete as well.
Too.
Yeah.
I'm not drafting no damn cornerback from San Diego State. He ain't played nobody.
No, he's a defensive lineman. He's not a cornerback.
Oh, I was going to say, hell no.
No, he's not a
Jordan
cornerback.
Davis. From Georgia sounds like a Cincinnati player, but
yeah.
That's just Geno Atkins days, man. You know what I'm saying? That just seems like a guy for, you know. But
I would be okay with that.
You know, at one point, all they drafted was
Georgia
player.
That's it.
Georgia in particular.
Yeah.
And we never
and
drafted
heard,
any players like from Georgia. Yeah, it's crazy. Go ahead.
And then you heard they're about to hire Marvin Lewis to go work in the front office for the Bengals too. So you know they're gonna be nothing but SEC players.
I would be okay with that. He just was a terrible coach. I wouldn't mind him in the front office.
I was messing with you, really.
Gotta be,
I would be okay with that.
So what?
So bring black
people. You guys recognize on me. They might bring him back as defensive coordinator, JQ.
You want a Super Bowl defensive coordinator? I'm okay with that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you guys recognize the music. That is the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We believe we're going to be back on our normal Tuesday night on next week. I believe it's going to be January the 11th. That's going to be the night after the national championship game. We're going to be back at you 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the East Coast. We're going to be at you 10 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. in the Mountain Time Zone. JQ's favorite city of El Paso, Texas. And then also Fresno. Fan of Fresno. It's going to be 8 o'clock for you guys out there in Jackson, Mississippi of the West. Good night, people.
Come on, man. That's a damn fool. We appreciate y'all listening to the show. You know, I'm still over here on cloud nine. I could actually probably take this Sunday off because ain't nobody going to play in that Bengals-Browns game, even though I still would love to win it. But it's been a while since I had a stress-free week 18 where I could look forward to my team mm-hmm. getting the playoffs next week. So still living off that for this week. Good night,
hey,
y'all.
Hey, hopefully they win. They can keep that Lisa 3 spot at work.
Yeah. Oh, you know I wanted to beat the Browns. I want to beat the Browns. I don't care who plays.
Yeah. Hey, man, I had to say El Paso, man, because you ran a UTEP minus colors, man.
Yeah, nah, man. Wearing the Cincinnati Bengals colors.
You wear those Tim Hardaway when he played at UTEP, man.
Wow, not Cross Tim Hardaway. Yeah, he went back for that one. The air raid.
Listen here, Marvin Lewis is like Twinkies and cockroaches. At the end, when the nuclear war happens, those three things will always survive. I won't believe it until I see them do it. That's where I am with him. He can survive a nuclear war.
You got that one queued up. I wouldn't even
you made me assist. That was your fault. You gave me assist.
I wasn't even ready for the score on that one.
You said
he flushed it.
Yes, sir.
That was an alley.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness. I hate y'all.
Every time Marvin Lewis' name is mentioned, I got to play that clip. You know, anytime his name is mentioned, hey, that clip
that
will
beat all my
up.
Les Miles comments.
We got to find some Les Miles comments, man, because those are like classic, man. Oh,
no, I got to find that. That computer cocked out on me. I got to see if I backed it up somewhere.
Oh, man.
No, that Marvin Lewis comes. That beats all of my Les Miles comments.
Yeah. Marvin Lewis is like Twinkies and cockroaches and Twinkies.
But I finally hired a coach that can speak English, though.
Oh, gosh. I can't. I can't. We going to finish out the shout-outs. I try to finish strong for my birthday, man, but we can do the fantasy shout-outs. And we pretty much know what's happening with Georgia, Alabama, right, because I'm curious about that. I mean, to wrap up the show, man. So that's kind of my thoughts. I talked about Caleb Williams. That's great. I don't know where he's going. That's a great pickup, too. But, yeah, Rob, really quickly.
Yeah. Hey, I'm with JQ in the Georgia-Alabama game now, man. You know, as much as I'm tired of seeing Alabama win it, and you just look at it. Alabama's got the better quarterback. You know, running game, they got the offensive line. Georgia's is as good as their defense is. They couldn't slow them down on the last game. So, you know, how much better are they going to be in this matchup? You know, because that game was in Atlanta. Now they're going up to Indianapolis, so it's hard for me to. I want Georgia to win, and I never root for Georgia, but I'd rather see them beat Alabama in this game. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think Alabama wins it out. Like I said, they got the better quarterback in this game. Stetson Bennett is nothing more of a game manager, and
they still
you know,
keep talking about starting him. It's crazy.
He looked good against Michigan,
but it's not going to work against Alabama. You know,
that's
not going to work. They just have way more talent than Michigan. They don't have way more talent than Alabama. So you got to go to the guy who's going to be the better quarterback. Yeah.
I agree. And I'll put it on. I will put this on wax. I do not want Georgia to win this game. I listen, these Georgia fans, I have told you from the get-go, they're talking all this noise when they was going 8-4 and 9-3 and swore they was winning the national championship every year and was talking so much trash to me. I said, listen, I moved down here. I didn't have any stake in the game. I didn't care. You know what I mean? But now that y'all done talked all that shit, I hope y'all don't win a damn thing. So I eat outside of until I see it. I'm just rooting for Alabama because I don't want them to win nothing.
Wow.
Their fans are so obnoxious.
I'll say it. If you let Georgia win and the Braves win the title in the same year, you won't be able to tell these MFers nothing.
Hold on. Why you got to bring the Braves into it, man? Come on, man. The Braves.
Because all of them are also Braves fans. But I ain't never seen so much Braves paraphernalia in all my life since y'all won the World Series. It's either Georgia or Braves. They just alternating days. If you let them both get championship gear for both those teams, oh, my God. It would be hard to be out
like Bernie Mac and the Players Club. I ain't paying them country boys nothing.
Yeah, listen. I'm just saying, man. They did it to themselves for me. They did it to themselves. Like I said, I didn't care. But they were so outlandish when I moved out here and continued to be outlandish. They turned me into a Georgia hater because of their actions. So,
I mean, I'm with you. I'm a Georgia hater too. I mean, like I said, so because the fans, you know, go if you hear "Go Dogs," like, you know, suck it. You know what I'm saying? And obviously, the hell with Georgia, all I can say, but I can't really talk shit because we ain't doing nothing. But at least with the Braves, at least it's like, you know, you kind of, they were the team, not, it was kind of like, it was due. Like, that one was like, it felt like, you know, more organic. Like, we finally were able to overcome that situation, too, and the way we played. But, you know, I get you.
No, I'm not necessarily hating on them for the Braves. But I'm saying, if you get those same people, both of them, in the same 3 month span, they was already hard to deal with. If you give them both of them, they'll live off that shit for freaking 2 decades. And let you know about it for two decades.
2 decades, that's true. That's true.
Like Cowboy fans.
But that's hilarious. Oh, damn. That ain't even here to fight that. But you got to say, thank you, though. That's hilarious. But isn't that, I mean, but come on. It's okay for us to be proud because we're our Braves here. Because, man, we haven't done shit, man. It's like, man, we finally got this, man. Let us have that moment, you know. I'm just saying.
I know. But I'm just saying, it was wild. I was like, I didn't know you was a Braves. I guess you are. But, like, man, this was out of control. They had stuff hanging off the damn chandeliers. They was just, you know, Braves everything. And people just snatching up. And you give Georgia a damn title, too. Bro, it's going to be hard to deal with these folks. That's why I say that. I didn't bring it in to bash the Braves. I brought it up because if you give those same people another title within 3 months,
Cowboys,
they're going to be hard to freaking deal with.
Again, I just think psychologically Nick Saban has something on the guy. Because, like, I mean, you never know what he's going to pull out. Hey, here's a freshman. Like, who the hell is this court? You never know what he's going to do. He's so unpredictable. And unless Georgia, like, they're like, they keep talking about Stetson Bennett as the dude, and I'm like, well, you've already seen that script, man. We already know what's going to happen, you know? It's like, what else? Kirby, what surprise are you going to pull out? Unless you're like, guess what? Here comes JT. That's the only thing you got to pull out. JT Daniels, boom. I mean, give him something to kind of at least, like, you know, think about, if you will. But, yeah.
I don't even think that's
going to happen. I hear Georgia might be in play for Caleb Williams, too. I hear there's a team.
You took what I was going to say. Now, if they mess around with Caleb Williams next year, and that defense is 80% of what it was this year, then they're a whole problem. He's talking about bringing this homeboy with him if he comes to Georgia. So if he gets those two, if they play 75-80% of the defense next year like they did this year and get those two, I ain't going nowhere. I'm just going to find me. I'm watching football at the house. Fuck it. I just ain't going to go out.
You're not leaving, JT. COVID's going to keep you out.
I heard Lincoln Riley's been playing USC too, though. But
USC,
you know, I heard USC's in play. I heard Georgia's in play.
What was the third school? There was three schools that he was like looking at. It was USC was one.
They said another sleeper is Ole Miss. Yeah, when they away Lane Kiffin,
Matt
Carroll.
That's what I heard.
Matt Corral. So
that motherfucker ain't going to no damn Ole Miss. Man, if he don't stop that, you know he ain't going to Ole Miss. I don't care. But only if they give him $5 million and let him have his own bar in Oxford would he go to Ole Miss. He ain't going to Ole Miss to play Alabama and freaking LSU and them boys with the SEC West. No. He can win the SEC with Georgia if he brings homeboy with that defense. He can win the Pac-12 at USC. I don't care if he brings his homeboys, all of them, their cousins, everybody. They ain't winning the SEC West and making the title game from Ole Miss. Come on, man. Come on. Ole Miss fan.
They said those were top four. They even said LSU, right? But those were top four as of now. Yeah.
LSU has the ability to rebound in the year if they get those two because they're always going to have athletes. Ole Miss, come on, man. They need to stop that. You know he ain't going to no damn Ole Miss. His last name ain't Cannon.
Oh, man.
Old piss.
Well, it's like, didn't Jesse say there was no black people in Iowa? Who tried to get in like, so?
Iowa?
Like, I think Nick Fan is like,
Put black people in this city. Damn, going to Ole Miss. You got to go further. You got to go to Jackson State to see them up there. But, man, come on, man. You're not, think about that schedule. He would have to get through just to get to the championship game. He's not going to Ole Miss. They just won't have enough talent. I don't care how good he is. They won't have enough talent.
That's probably a good call. We know. I was just trying to, like, get him the name because I remember there's, like, a couple of squads that, you know, obviously USC was the one in Georgia, but then there's third school that was kind of intriguing too. But, you know, Lane Kiffin, you know, he's trying to make his name. But, you know, bottom line is, like, you know.
Lane Kiffin's probably the one that put that out there. Like, I talked to him the other day. He might go, stop that shit, Lane.
This is like, hey, I think he's
right. Off the weeds.
Oh, my gosh. Rob, do you want to do the fantasy shout-outs? Are we shaking your head about that, JQ, or is that what you were shaking your head? Did you finish
hell
on
yeah,
it?
Hell yeah, I'm
the
damn Patriots of Fantasy League. Sucks.
Man. Oh, damn. I'm sorry.
None of us won a league, man. Make us look bad as the host. I was in a championship and lost, too. Like, man.
Yeah, undefeated and lost in the championship.
To what?
I was undefeated and lost in the championship.
I know. That one really got to hurt.
That hurts deeply. I saw that. I just
yeah, a couple of these dudes won championships with a 7-7 record. Like,
that's how you know how dumb this year has been. That says it all.
But that's what I was going to say. So
you go ahead and give me a shout out. That'd be cool. Go ahead and give it to him.
All right. League number one. The biggest win of the week, I won't back down over Will's team, 132.74 to something. All right, I ain't taking good notes there.
This is classic right here. I love it.
Yeah, tell you that one right there. Or something.
Oh, goodness gracious. With something.
All right. In the championship match, head of table, Chris in Orlando, his team won the championship, 218.58 over Eagles Chick-fil-A, 174.10.
Damn!
The 174.10 is still lost.
She was talking about
18. So congratulations.
Who's playing quarterback for that squad? Was that
I need to look that up.
He had that Burrow and Chase. God, what? 218?
Yeah, that's.
Wait.
Yeah, that's.
I got to look that up now. You got me curious here.
No, you keep going so we can go. I'll look at it while you talk.
Keep going. Yeah.
All right. And league number two, the biggest win of the week is Pelly. It says Aaron's in Hartford, Connecticut. 158.10 over Boxcar Willie 02, 129.30. And then in the championship match, Chester and New Orleans, his team, Hawk Smash, beat JQ's team 142.94 over JQ's team 115.06. And then the next one, the biggest win of the week, Chester and New Orleans again with a 147 to JQ's team 116.50. And in the championship match, Scary Daddy, Sean, in Atlanta, his team won championship. His team, NOLA for Life, 199.54 over Gilligan's Island, 174.04.
Damn.
League number four.
Go ahead.
You checked out the roster?
Go ahead. Yes.
In league number four, Andre's team had the biggest win of the week, Andre's Black Lives Matter team. 225.54 over his white team, 127.50. It's cold blooded. I know you was on the sofa last night.
If my grandma,
they were cold on that side of the bed.
Yeah, man, I ain't gonna talk about half.
So yeah, the point over here next week, because that side of the bed was cold, bro.
Oh. Wow.
It's called a statement.
That was a third place matchup, too, wasn't it? Yeah, wow.
Yeah. Yep. For the
championship match, I got beat in the championship match. 18 strong Chester from New Orleans beat my team 170.12 to 128.74. And then in the fantasy basketball matchup, Heart High Fives had the biggest win in the week. That's Matt from Indianapolis with a 6-3 win over Anthony Davis, the new 23. And also Pastor Rock Chester from New Orleans beat Saints Pelicans 23-63 as well. And his team's in first place with a 67-32.
We needed that.
Those are the fantasy
all right,
challenges.
So we can finish it on this. His roster, Justin Herbert had 21.68. DK Metcalf had 30.9. Jamar Chase had 63.6. Chase Edmonds had 13.2. Austin Eckler had 20.2. Mark Andrews had 14.9. Chase Claypool had 4.7. Amon Ross, St. Brown from Detroit, had 38.4.
This wide receivers, Amon, Jamar Chase, and DK Metcalf were the biggest players. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They went for 131 points between the three of them.
Man, I was winning my championship matchup until Seattle played. When Seattle played, this dude had Rashawn. What's the running back name for Seattle?
Penny.
Yeah, Rashawn Penny. And he had DK Metcalf, and man, just wiped me out. Just for those two players alone. That's why I lost the
DK
Metcalf. Really, but DK wasn't really having that good of a year, though, because I have him on my other squad.
No,
he's been up and down.
In another league, and he's been dead for like 5 or 6 weeks, and then all of a sudden he has a big game.
He has one game. Yep. You're like, man, come
championship
on.
Week.
That's just
Jamar Chase, though, 63.6. God.
Number one receiver. That's
you.
So you know what's going to happen.
From
that,
New Orleans.
He's going to compete for being the number one, you know, pick next year, man. I mean, or, you know, talk about number one wide receiver, you know. So he's
number one wide receiver.
You know, it's crazy. Yeah. But that's
with those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Man. The Bengals
might be
competing
next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Damn.
It's going to start for the wide
receiver. Wide receiver is quick.
Yeah. Bruh. And I'm
still.
Yeah,
the Kansas City defense is 2 points, but still one.
Yeah. He got hot at the right time. He beat me in the semifinal round, 178-170. And then he comes back this week and put up 228. Yeah.
Chase back week.
Yeah, man. Gentlemen, I know it's kind of weird we don't have the West Coast. It was good to kind of bring back some.
Sorry.
Are you shaking your head, JQ?
7-7. We do all
that
damn shit.
These motherfuckers
start.
They win 7-7.
I don't want to talk about it no more. Go ahead, Andre.
I'm done. I won't talk about it no more. I'm taking my ball. I'm out of here. No, I was going to say.
That's why you wore the number 7 jersey. Not number
7. 7-7.
I would have put that on if I'd known that was the case.
I was just going to show
sure
myself before I pass out, man.
We have 2 7-7 teams win championships out of our four leagues.
So you're saying there's a chance. There's always a chance, no matter what. Depends on who's playing well. We like the NFL real time because anyone can pull this out. It's like, man, how is a 7-8 team getting in the play? You know, there you go. I was going to say, it's good to see you guys. I know, like, a lot of times, you know, we appreciate Gary and Curtis, obviously, but it just brings back a little nostalgia, bringing back the crew and stuff like that, too. So it's good to kind of, like, have a relaxed show and, you know, fight through that, too. They bring some unique personalities, too. But just like I said, it's, like, cool to bring some nostalgia, bring us back, you know, kind of how things were, man. So, you know, we were able to get through some topics, have some fun, too. So, you know, that's all I'm saying, you know. So, you know, it's all good for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Not that they're not cool. I'm going to say that 50,000 times. So I'm sorry.
We understand. I think they understand too.
Yeah. LeBron James is playing center, man.
Oh my God!
Say
that.
What?
LeBron James playing center. What's going on with that, JQ?
Shit, it ain't gonna matter.
They're trying to move Jordan. In Bazemore too. Like, what's up with that?
You're going to get some Bojangles biscuits for them? Like, what the hell are you going to give back for them? Anybody want to know?
Ish, man. That's a
couple of In-N-Out burgers.
Oh, my God. We'll throw you the whole In-N-Out burger franchise chain, and we're going to throw you some Bojangles. Make that happen.
As long as Russell Westbrook is on that team, they got problems. So it ain't going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he was with the Heat, he played the four a lot next to Chris Bosh, and it was successful. So it's interesting they got to play in the center.
Anthony Davis, punk ass, won't play the center, so that's a story for another day, if he would ever get back healthy. So
Charles Barkley gave him the appropriate nickname.
Street clothes.
There you go. Street clothes.
I can't with y'all. I can't with y'all. That's hilarious, but it's true. That's the thing.
Like Zion Williams is right on that same boat.
Yeah, he just went out of New Orleans. He just said, let me have a dozen beignets every morning.
Well,
out of gumbo.
Zion.
Jambalaya. Catfish.
But I will say this. Zion Williamson did say his favorite player was Sean Kemp. I'm just saying.
Oh, God. Yeah, he looked like it.
That was bad.
He looked like Sean Kemp.
Sorry.
All right, so I got to go to bed.
Yeah, all right, bro.
Good night,
fellas. Have a good one. Good night, fellas.
All right, y'all. Talk to you next week.
All right.